Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Friday, April 19th, Major League Baseball morning show. Couple of updates real quick on this. Don't know how long we'll be doing this. I think it's going to be better. The reason I kind of came to this decision was just thinking through taking everything off the table, right? And this is a principle that there's a book, I think it's called Rethink. That's a great book if you like reading. And it kind of talks about how sometimes it's good to kind of stop and reset and take all your preconceived notions off the table, put everything back on the table and see what makes sense based off where you are now. And that sort of thinking can be critical, especially in prediction markets. So that applies to us as sports bettors, right? We don't need to get too caught up in, you know, I like this pitcher and he's, you know, I think he's going to come around hanging on to that thought, right? And so it's trying to find that balance between not overreacting, underreacting, and we'll talk about a guy like that later today. But just thinking through what was best for the picks. And we've talked about the first five picks have been doing really well. I don't know if I want to necessarily go extremely to that, but we've kind of landed here. And I think this is the best mix of things is to have our recommended picks be, you know, pretty heavily first five based. There's a lot of reasons why that can go better for us. Still locking in good money line picks the night before. We don't have any of those here today. The only money line pick we locked in last night was the play of the day. but I think we'll have that'll not be the case always. And so we'll talk about that kind of going forward too, that'll be exclusively for Dub Club people to lock in those early picks. And on Dub Club, you get the projections early. So if you're looking for, if you like the fact that we did the show the night before and you're looking for those picks, if you're with us on Dub Club, you get all the projections ahead of time. I've been a little up and down with it because life's been kind of crazy, but the plan is to get those out, you know, before noon, the day before. So you'll know exactly what the model thinks. So you can get those picks right when those lines come out. You can get them at night. You can get them whenever you want. All that information available on Dub Club, but wait until the morning until we lock anything else. So the only thing we want to lock the night before is just the really good, the A-grade money lines. Other than that, let's just wait. Let's see everything. I've been kind of talking about that on show. It just felt a little wrong recording the night before and just so many times just being like, well, we're going to wait. Well, we're going to wait. Well, we're going to wait. This way, I think it makes the most sense. We're locking in what's great in the morning. We can then kind of come back and assess everything. This will put our release time. It's a little bit later today. I had some formatting changes, but kind of in this 10 o'clock Eastern range every morning will be about when it drops. That'll be a little give and take, especially based off of if I'm being a single parent because Mrs. Professor's out on a trip or not that day. You know, and again, no idea how long this will last. Part of the issue, the reticence on this, mainly for me, is I don't really love mornings. So getting up is not necessarily easy for me in the morning to get up extra early to do this. I'd rather be sleeping right now. You know, after I take the little one to school, I'll go, you know, go back to bed rather than be awake. But I think this makes the most sense for us. And so that's kind of what I've always tried to do, is just whatever I think is best. So I have a little bit of everything here. We'll see if this works. Again, if you're looking for extra information, if you're looking for the earlier information, if you're looking for summers, if you're looking for all the thresholds, if you're looking for all this information, just like having the sheet handy so you can kind of look at everything as I'm talking about it, Dub Club is the place where you get everything. You get detailed information, you get summarized information, you get it long form, short form, everything. Picks when you can't watch the picks, when we can't have the show. I was sick yesterday. I barely made it out of bed really all day. Allergies just knocked me on my butt. I slept until one, other than waking up and doing some Major League Baseball updates. Otherwise, I slept until one. 13 hours of sleep and lying around all day. And you can probably still hear my voice a little bit, but I feel a whole lot more like a human today. And so sometimes I'm going to be sick. It's, you know, that's just the way it happens, especially with kids. We don't do shows on Sundays. And then there's just sometimes life things that happen. And so we can't necessarily always get that show in five or six times a week as much as I'd like to. And so in those situations, you get picks. I'll give notes out to people on Dub Club. So a lot of reasons to be over there on Dub Club. Again, 10-day free trial to start you out. If you're not with us yet, link in the show description or that QR code will get you there. The other benefit, of course, to doing day of, I can actually do a recap of yesterday, which I do love to do. I'm all about transparency. A lot of things have gone well. Not everything has gone well. The picks on the show haven't gone great. And that's part of the reason why I'm going in the morning, because I feel like maybe I've been forcing a few picks, trying to give y'all picks here for the free show, locking in the night before, things that maybe haven't gone as well. And now I have more things to choose from. You can see we talked about those first five picks have done really well. Yesterday was a light day, slightly positive for us, but the play of the day, winning a couple days, it's starting to go the right direction. I don't know what will happen with the extra credit first five free pick. That's over on Twitter, of course. You don't have to have an account to see that extra pick over there. Now that we're doing the morning and we're doing the first five, I don't know what we'll do with that, but we'll do something. We'll see where it goes. Being the play of the day, maybe starting to go the right direction. Small sample size. It's always done really well across all sports. And so I'm looking forward to that continuing to improve. But without further ado, then we will quickly remind you about some of these things, and then we'll get to the games. Remember, if you're looking for information about the model, picksoftheprofessor.com/new. We are projecting an average game, one game, weird things are going to happen. We're going to have a 1-0 or 2-1 game that seems weird, or a, 8-6 game, right? We're not trying to say, I know exactly what will happen in this game. That's a fool's errand. Instead, what we're saying is, on average, this is what we think will happen. And if the averages play out over the long term, we know what prices can make us profitable. We do expect if a team's supposed to win 55% of the time, we do expect that to lose 9 out of 20, right? The idea is that if it wins 55% of the time, if we are playing it at a price like minus 110, that's going to make us profitable. If we're playing it at a price like minus 150, that's not. And that's how we know if we should make a play or not, is the comparison between the odds and the probability. We have a fairly well calibrated model here, and that's what helps us, but it does mean some of the picks are going to lose. We have to accept that and try to say, by getting good prices, we will be profitable in the long run. That's what we've hopefully shown. Many of you already know this. Anything's a good bet if that has that right price. Some of them you will never see that price, and that's okay. But if that price does come up, we want to make sure we're thinking about what the price is. There are no locks in gambling. A grades are the best value. Doesn't mean they're going to win. It just means they provide us more profit in the long run than the other picks. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. If you could like the show, that helps us out a lot. We like it when you like it. Starting off with the Marlins and the Cubs day game, and it looks like we will have the doubleheader happening on Saturday, I believe. And so just sticking with the day game here and no night game on Friday. They like to do that at Wrigley. I think it's part of the agreement with the area where they have the day game, and then people get to go to the bars and the restaurants there on Friday night. So the pitching matchup remains what it was going to be on Thursday. AJ Puck and Jameson Taillon. The weather is interesting on this one. We're talking mid-50s, but a pretty strong wind out to right field. And the wind is going to matter more here than in any other ballpark. Part of that because they don't have the big grandstands at Wrigley. And so even the same mile-per-hour wind matters more at Wrigley. I think we're going to see a slightly hitter-friendly environment here. That's why the current total is 9.5. I'm not sure how hitter-friendly, because that cold temperature is going to matter. So this is one where I mean, anytime you see a 9.5 and you see the offensive ratings of these two teams, which isn't great, the Cubs offense is okay, Marlins offense isn't that good, you kind of start to think like maybe the total's priced a little too high, but the weather is just so interesting. It, you know, kind of depends on where you're hitting the ball. If the wind catches it that much, it's very 50-50 on the battle of, will the cold matter more than the wind? And so the total might be priced a little bit high, but I'm just a little skeptical, I don't know how much it's worth it. There's just a lot of variance there with exactly what the wind will do, picking up, gusts, that sort of thing. And so I think the better play is to stick with a side. And we're going to go run line here on the dog, Marlins +1.5. It's -130 that gets into the A grade. Again, the A grade thresholds for every single type of pick are available on Dub Club run line, reverse run line, all the first five stuffs as well. The threshold for this is -142. So anything -142 or better gets the A grade. The reason the run line might have a little bit of value is correlated to that total. The total market being maybe a little bit inflated probably means that they think that the Cubs are a little more likely to have win in a runaway than they are. There are a lot of ways you can play this game, but I think this is the best one. This is one I took a decent amount of time trying to figure out. AJ Puck hasn't looked good. We've talked about that. I don't know how long this experiment will last. I think because he's been shaky, they'll have a quick hook on him today. And the Marlins bullpen isn't great, as you can see there on screen, but it's no worse off than the Cubs bullpen is. They might even have a little bit more depth than the Cubs do at reliever. So if he struggles early, the fact they didn't play yesterday, I mean, maybe let's go ahead and get those relievers in there early and they can maybe minimize the damage. Taillon, is kind of in the same boat. We don't know what to expect. First start, sometimes these first starts go great, sometimes they don't. Coming back from injury. I don't know exactly how deep he got into his routine yesterday. I don't know how much of a routine. Some of these guys are like, if they don't do the thing like the day before correctly, like it really just throws them off, especially these veteran pitchers. Like, I don't know if that's him or not, but we've seen that sometimes with some of these pitchers. If anybody's messed up from this rain delay, being pushed back today, which we do sometimes, not always, it's going to be Taillon. Puck being a reliever probably doesn't really matter. In fact, we might want to mess up his routine. This might help him out, right? So I kind of think there's a couple of reasons there to be maybe less pessimistic on Puck than normal, at least relative to Taillon. I'm not expecting good things from Taillon. I'm not really expecting good things from both these pitchers. The bullpens I'm not expecting much from. And so that kind of all comes out in the wash. And the Cubs have a better offense. The Cubs are favored. The Cubs should be favored, right? But, at this point, I think the difference between these two teams and the situation isn't that big. Rather take the money line, I'm going to take the run line. We love taking the run line with the road team because if they're the road favorite, that means, if it gets to extra innings, they want to score as many as they can. They're for sure guaranteed 9 at bats. They want to add on as many runs as possible. On the plus 1.5, what that means if it's tied late, the Cubs might hit a walk-off with multiple runs, a walk-off home run with multiple runs, but they have a walk-off anything else, they'll only win by one. And so we get an extra little bit of a boost there. That's baked into the spread or to the model. It's baked into the books. It's baked into everything. It's more of an exciting play, more of a fun play. And so the model says that the Marlins can cover this 61% of the time. And so that would make this a pretty strong play, a great value on the Marlins here in the afternoon on the run line. Red Sox and the Pirates, mid to upper 50s for this one, a slight breeze blowing out. The breeze probably going to not help as much as the temperature, so slightly pitcher-friendly with regards to the weather. Brian Bello versus Quinn Priester, the Red Sox offense struggling. We faded the Red Sox hard against the Guardians. The Guardians were really good to us this last week in that series. The model picking up on the fact that they're a little bit weaker at offense now with some of the injuries. They weren't very good to start with on offense. This Red Sox team kind of starting off a little bit as fool's gold. They're a little bit better against righties. So that's something to take note of. They are fairly left-handed heavy. And they will have the edge here at starting pitcher Brian Bello. Underlying metrics a mixed bag, but he's respectable. He's solid, very, very decent pitcher. Quinn Priester is a guy who pitched a little bit last year. Young guy might improve, pretty high error bars here. The thing about this game is where it's priced now doesn't really offer us a lot of value anywhere, in my opinion. And part of the benefit of coming in the morning is I'm going to say no pick less often. This is one of the two starting off of the 15 today. That I just don't really think there's any value going anywhere. And maybe someone else can tell you where there is. I'm not going to press and try to make something happen where it's not. It's priced fairly well. The model says this is pretty close to a coin toss game, pretty close to 50-50. Slight edge to the Pirates. The Pirates are slight favorites. There might be a little bit of value on the Red Sox. The fact that the model faded the Red Sox pretty hard this last week and now says maybe there's some value on them, that kind of gets me looking. But this Pirates team's pretty solid. The Pirates started off last year really well in April. They started off this year really well in April. I don't know if they'll keep it going, but I'm not really dying to fade the Pirates. I'm not really dying to back the Red Sox unless the value's good. So a game I have my eye on just because the fact that we were fading the Red Sox so hard, the fact that we've been backing the Pirates so hard, and all of a sudden now the model flips is kind of like, well, maybe, but I just need better value than right now. And the A-grade threshold for the money line for the Red Sox here, plus 115. The current price is plus 105. Just need better value. There's not really a first five angle on this one. I think it's fairly well priced, so just going to pass. But as always, the more you shop around, the more likely you are to find good value somewhere. If you don't have an account there yet, BetUS is one of the places that you should have as part of your repertoire. 125% bonus on your first ever three deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Moving us along, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, White Sox and the Phillies. Similar weather as we just talked about, upper 50s, slight breeze blowing out, probably more friendly to the pitchers than the hitters. Garrett Crochet and Spencer Turnbull Obviously, on the offensive side, the Phillies are the much better team pitching-wise. I've liked Turnbull. We've talked about this. His underlying metrics probably not as promising as that 1.80 ERA, but still very good. Low threes for the FIP and the XFIP. I think Turnbull's probably an on-the-rise, underrated. You know, I like what I've seen from him, and if he keeps doing this up, going to be a very valuable piece of the rotation for the Phillies. Crochet did hit around a little bit more in his last start. His ballooned his ERA to 3.57, but the underlying metrics for him are insanely promising. We still think this guy might be underrated, might be one of the better starting pitchers in baseball. Right now, he's ranked number 37, but if he continues with the underlying metrics like this, he's going to continue to climb. And so I'm not really discouraged by that last start. And I think we're getting a little value here because people were like, oh, Crochet's the only good pitcher on the White Sox. In the last start, he got hit around. That was a little bit of bad luck, right? We talk a lot about how ERA maybe not the most predictive way to measure how good a pitcher's done. I have no desire to take the White Sox full game. That bullpen is obviously very bad. I also want the short game variance. A lot of teams talk about we want the full game. We want to avoid that variance, right? With the White Sox, I want that variance because we're always going to be playing them at plus odds. We're always going to be playing them where we're getting runs. And so I want that extra bit of who the heck knows what's going to happen, because that can only work to our advantage. Because if what should happen happens, the White Sox would go 0-162 because they're terrible, right? We're going to take them first five on the run line here. B grade pick. The total in this game is 7.5. So we aren't expecting a lot of runs. And that bodes well, because if the game has a total of 9.5, the probability that we end up with a 0-0-1-1 first five is not as likely. It's more likely to be, you know, have some crooked numbers because we're expecting runs. In a game where we aren't expecting runs, we are more likely to land, obviously, 1-0-2-1-2-0, which could help us or hurt us depending on where it goes. But we're more likely to land at 0-0-1-1-2-2 in the first five because we're not expecting very many runs. We're not expecting someone to put up a five spot. Doesn't mean anything can happen in one game. That's not what we would expect. So that's what makes this first five appealing. I'm backing the White Sox here. I'm backing Garrett Crochet here. I'm backing the fact that if he doesn't allow a run in the first five innings, we're good. It's a chilly night, and I want to get out of Dodge because I don't want any part of the White Sox bullpen. But I have a lot of faith in Garrett Crochet. I like Spencer Turnbull as well. But Crochet, I think, is the better pitcher. And so let's take them first five run line. Again, if we tie, we win. And so that's kind of the benefit there to backing the White Sox. First five run line, be great pick. Angels in the Red, no line available on this one. We do not know who is starting for the Reds as at the time of this recording. Fangraphs has it as Nick Lodolo. I don't know who's going to pitch. So the metrics, the projection, everything we have is for if it is Tyler Anderson versus Nick Lodolo. Anderson has pitched really well with regards to his ERA this year. The underlying metrics are a concern. The FIP and XFIP are both close to five. So Anderson is a guy who I think it's a little bit of fool's gold. That said, are the Reds the team to take advantage of it? I'm not really sure. This Reds offense isn't that great. We faded them very hard all three games in Seattle and won all three of them backing the Mariners. Kind of going back to what I'm saying, this Reds team isn't that good. Their record is a little bit inflated because they played the White Sox, they played the Nationals, they played some very bad teams early on. And once they actually played a real team like Seattle, you know, you saw what happened. Their bullpen isn't very good. Their offense isn't that good. The Reds are all about the starting pitching. Lodolo's a pretty good pitcher. Looked really good in his first start. So if he's there whenever he goes, whenever the Reds have a better starting pitcher going, they have a chance, of course. But the issue is it's all about that pitcher. On the other hand, while I don't like what I've seen from Anderson, and I don't like the bullpen situation for the Angels either, the Angels offense is looking pretty strong, got them up to number 7 in baseball. And if it is Lodolo, they are pretty right-handed heavy. So against a lefty, they get even better. So that's something to keep in mind there. No official pick right here. Once we have something out, confirmed starting pitcher and lines, Dub Club will get all the updated information. And if there's a good pick, a pick as well. Astros and the Nats, 6:45 p.m. Eastern, about 60 degrees for this one, maybe just above 60 to start, maybe just under to finish. Wind will be blowing, maybe out, maybe across, but not very strong, so probably not going to matter too much. Mainly a chilly night. It's going to help the pitchers offset what's become a fairly hitter-friendly ballpark. Not obviously in the top five. It's not Fenway. You know, it's not Coors. It's not Kauffman, but still a fairly hitter-friendly ballpark here in Washington, but a cool night again offsets that. the debut of Justin Verlander for the Astros this season, who they sorely need as the Astros will finally go back to be able to hand. They don't have a full starting rotation in the IL, just only four pitchers after this one against Mackenzie Gore. These pitchers, I'm not sure who's better. Many of you know I'm an Astros fan, but I don't necessarily see everything through rose-colored glasses. This Astros team, we faded, I think, all three games against the Braves, and that worked out pretty well for us. Their offense is still good. I'm not really concerned about them struggling against the Braves. The Braves have a bunch of good pitchers and a bunch of good best relievers in baseball as a group. I think their offense will still be fine. The bullpen's a big concern for the Astros. And Verlander's a concern because he's a guy that last year wasn't quite the same age injuries as he was necessarily the year before. As a fan watching them, you know, you kind of got to the point where you're just hoping for six innings, two runs was a really good start. Mackenzie Gore's looked really good in his three starts so far this season. He's skyrocketing up the starting pitcher ratings up to 85 right now. Underlying metrics are very promising, actually slightly better than the ERA. So Mackenzie Gore maybe finally kind of putting it together. Maybe this is his breakout season. So far, so good. He's obviously a guy that was highly touted. Previous seasons hadn't quite put it together yet. But, I mean, if he makes this big leap, which is obviously very possible, this might be the year he establishes himself as, you know, a top 50, top 30, top who knows what pitcher in baseball. The sky's the limit for a guy with his potential. The model says they're about the same. I don't know. Maybe one's better than the other. I don't know. You never really know with age. With Verlander coming off the injury, you just don't know what he's got left in the tank. There's an edge on the Nats here. You just got to figure out how you want to play it. The first five edge is a little bit better than the full game edge. In general, I would say let's fade the Astros full game because their bullpen is so terrible. Their bullpen has been terrible. And we've talked about it a lot this season. How do you react? How do you overreact? How do you underreact? Or how do you avoid doing both of those things? The Astros bullpen rating was, I think, upper 80s, low 90s, and it's now up to 101 here. So, I mean, it's gotten a lot worse. Is it fluky, and will it start coming back down? I mean, those pitchers are all pretty good. They've had pretty good careers. It's not like they've got a bunch of guys who are one-hit wonders, right? I mean, a lot of these guys have had really good careers. The last several years been very good. Maybe they just all are struggling. They can't figure it out, and the wheels come off, and it's just, you know, that sort of thing. I'm not really sure, but the Nats bullpen isn't any better. And so I don't really think this is a series where I'm dying to go full game because this Astros bullpen could turn it around any day, and that wouldn't be overly surprising. It's kind of a wash in the bullpen. Last series against the Braves, I was like, yes, let's just go full game. And you saw it in all those games. The Braves, you know, winning in extras the last game and extending the lead and making it not even close in the first two games. I'm not sure that's the case here because this Nationals bullpen is not the Braves bullpen, right? So in this case, I think the better angle is the first five. Going run line again, basically even money. Hey, great. You can take the Nats, of course, in the money line on the first five if you want. I think there's a real good chance this is, you know, 1-1 or something after five. The key is going to be the Astros. Very good against lefties. Mackenzie Gore's a lefty. You know, how much of a breakout season is he really having? How much can he really keep them in check? The Astros have sometimes struggled against the upper elite pitchers, and they've hammered some of the weaker guys. And so if Mackenzie Gore is as good as he's looked so far this season and the prospect type was, he probably keeps the Astros in check. I don't really know what to expect from Verlander. I think the side here is the right play on the Nats. And then again, of all the different ways to play it, the run line appears to be pretty good option, close to even money, a grade value on the Nationals there. Rays and the Yankees, one of the three games, I think, the second of the three that I spent a lot of time looking at, trying to figure out what the best angle is. A couple of ways you can kind of play this, in my opinion. Good offenses for both of these teams. Questionable starting pitching. Tyler Anderson for the Rays. Bad ERA, bad underlying metrics. Clark Schmidt has looked much better and at least more respectable, but only average. Now, he's pitched better than that this season. If he continues to pitch this way, he will continue to improve. But you have an average pitcher for the Yankees and a weaker pitcher for the Rays. Bullpens are about the same. The reason I went with the Yankees is multiple fold here, And number one, we're going to Yankees minus one. It's a B grade pick. Again, if you don't have a book that offers minus one, you bet whatever you win on the money line is what you risk on the run line. You can make a minus one market yourself. A couple reasons going to the Yankees. Number one, I mentioned before, the Yankees just don't typically have a lot of value betting on them. And so anytime they do, I like to jump on it. Doesn't mean it's going to be smart. It just means it's the best time to back the Yankees or when there's any value, because it's very rare we get an A-grade in the Yankees because they're typically inflated, especially with the stronger start they've had of this season. The model just was loving the Rays here recently. The fact that we're not in the Rays, I think that makes a lot of sense because I was expecting this to be a Rays pick. And since it's not, it's like, oh, wow. If you're going the other way model, let's go. I like it. I think the total makes a lot of sense too. The current total is 9. You have to pay a little bit of juice to go under. I would not go under 8.5, but under 9, even with a little juice, minus 120, maybe minus 125, I think makes a lot of sense as well, because we're talking about 50-degree weather, wind blowing in. Yankee Stadium's not a hitter-friendly ballpark. Its park factor is 98. Its park factor for this year, for last year, for the last 3 years rolling, whatever you want to look at it. One of the weirdest myths. I don't know why people think Yankee Stadium's a hitter-friendly park. I talked about this last year. I think I talked about it the year before. Whenever the year Judge was hitting all those home runs, people were like, oh, well, it's a stadium. And I'm like, what are people saying? Like, I don't understand this weird, like, why people think this. Like, we have data on this. We know the answer. Like, this isn't a question. This isn't an opinion. This is a fact that on average, you score less runs at Yankee Stadium than you score anywhere else. We've proven this. Factual, period, the end. Like, anything else, you're just wrong. Sorry. I don't know why people think that. So you got a pitcher-friendly ballpark that now, if the weather's warm, wind's blowing out, sure, it can be hitter-friendly. Any pitcher-friendly ballpark can be hitter-friendly on certain days. Any hitter-friendly ballpark can be pitcher-friendly on any given days. Hold that thought, because we're going to talk about one of those later today. But when you have an on-average, slightly pitcher-friendly ballpark, 50-degree weather, wind maybe up to 10 miles an hour blowing in, like, it's going to play pretty pitcher-friendly. And that doesn't mean runs can happen. These are two top 10 offenses. Tyler Anderson, I don't have a lot of faith in. This Rays bullpen has been a little questionable this season. Yankees bullpen's kind of up and down. There could absolutely be runs in this game. But it sets up for an under. I like the under 9. The reason with the Yankees is that the worst area so far in the model, and even making some adjustments, the totals for the full game have been kind of questionable. I'm not sure if the model's doing a great job capturing some of the bullpen stuff and extra innings and everything. I don't know. It hasn't been as good. It could be small sample size. I'm not overly confident in the full game totals right now. And so when I was looking at this and I was saying, yeah, I like the Yankees minus one, I like the under 9. I'm going to go with the one where I think the model's at least seeing things better, doing a little bit better. Right now, that's the side. So the official pick on this, Yankees minus one. B grade pick. That doesn't mean the under isn't smart. I like it. It's just, I'm just a little bit hesitant on the full game totals. It's the one thing that hasn't gone well for us this season. So instead, I think the Yankees full game makes more sense. But the under, I think, is a smart play given what we will see weather-wise there in New York. A's and the Guardians. Guardians were great to assist last week. Not going to be on here. Going to be on the A's first five. A couple reasons why. Number one, fairly pitcher-friendly ballpark in Cleveland. Should be another pitcher-friendly day. So another day, I mean, it's April, right? What are you expecting me to say? I'm going to say this a lot of the same things, a lot of pitcher-friendly days. When we get to July, I'm going to say a lot of the opposite. I'm going to say hitter-friendly days, right? That's just the way it goes. 50-degree weather, ball's not going to fly very well. Wind will be blowing across, so no wind effect at all. But pitcher-friendly ballpark, 50-degree weather. We've seen Cleveland. Cleveland, the only time it plays kind of normal is when you get a warm summer day there, but you never really get that hot of days in Cleveland. It's pretty rare. But you know, you get a warm 80-degree day, especially a day game. Like, you might see some runs in Cleveland, but otherwise, the only way you get runs is just the random, just a bunch of hits. But the ball doesn't fly there. You don't see a lot of home runs. You see a lot of lower scoring games there. And then in the fringes of the season, when it gets colder, you see a lot of like 2-1 type games there. And so that's kind of the type of game we're expecting. If the total was 9, I'd love the under. The problem is they've set it at 8.5. And so, I mean, under probably makes sense. I don't expect a lot of runs. But with the A's, I just never know about their bullpen. The bullpen's done good so far, and that rating continues to go down. It's been one of the strengths of the team, making up for the offense, which hasn't been very good. It's a little bit surprising to me. Last year, it was the other way around. The bullpen was just disastrous. The offense was reasonable. The model is still saying the offense is okay. Like, it's early on. Let's not overreact. Like, it's dinging them a little bit. But it's still not a good offense. And the way they performed, if they continue to perform like the way they've done, it's going to continue to fall. The bottom's going to fall out for that offense. I'm just not sold on these relievers. Like, if they can keep it going, it's gone well so far. And if you've been back in the A's, especially when they've been plus 1.5 year, you know, you've done really well. I'm just not sure. I know the Guardians relievers are great. And that's what we talked about against the Red Sox, that if they could just hang in those early innings, their relievers would take care of it. And sure enough, that's basically what happened in most of those games. The one exception was when the Red Sox didn't have to have a reliever because Tanner Houck was phenomenal. I'm going to go first five here on the A's. I just don't want to deal with a bullpen matchup. I think the bullpen matchup favors Cleveland way too much. I like the short sample size, like the variability we can have here. We can have, you know, ties win. You can take money line if you want a little bit better of a payout. The way I've kind of set this up is trying to take the whichever market is closer to 50-50 is the market we're going to lean to. And so that happens to be the run line here. It's only C grade value. To get up to a B grade on this price, you need plus 102 or better. Plus 110 gets you to the A grade. So maybe you can shop around and get it. But the model says this hits a little over 50% of the time. And so, you know, why not? The A's have been pretty good. And I've said it all year, I don't think the A's are as bad as people think. I think the White Sox, you know, were the worst team in baseball, and people are talking about the A's, but the A's actually are a little bit decent, at least for now. If their relievers keep pitching like this and the offense gets it going, this A's team might win like 70 games, which would be kind of crazy. Obviously, if the offense doesn't get it going and the relievers fall apart and they trade some players, it'll get a lot worse. But this A's team isn't bad. Here's the other reason I like this first five pick on Oakland. Joe Boyle has a 5.68 ERA. He's got a 2.96 FIP. It's not terrible. Now, the model still gives him a 1.12 grade. The model's still like he's not good. But, I mean, his xFIP's okay. It's actually better than his projection is. The FIP's good. Like, he might be okay. He might be passable. Tristan McKenzie is a guy I liked a lot in previous seasons. But so far, I don't know what is going on. Maybe today's the day he finds it. Maybe today's the day he figures it out. And against an Oakland offense that just seems to be struggling. But on the other hand, maybe this Oakland offense, maybe today's the day they kind of figure it out and start getting back to what they were last year, which was a slightly below average but respectable offense versus what they've done so far, which is really struggle to score. Obviously, don't expect a lot of runs because of the atmosphere, but in these conditions in this park, right, you know, scoring four runs would be a lot, I think. And maybe – a guy like McKenzie struggling, you know, so it's struggle versus struggle. I don't know who's going to win, but that's kind of why I like the plus 1.5. I don't know what's going to happen. And so give me the dog, right? McKenzie had a 6.23 ERA. His FIP and his XFIP are in the sevens. I mean, we try to look at a lot of different ways how we assign value to a pitcher. And it's kind of like whichever way you look, McKenzie's been terrible this year. His rating's going the wrong direction. We don't overreact to three starts, and that's why I have the model. That's why we have the grades, to help us figure out how do we calibrate all this and say what's our best guess, because we can't just say every time a pitcher does something good or bad for three straight games, well, we know that's going to be what happens next time, because we all know that's not necessarily the case. But, man, you have to start being concerned about McKenzie, and so I don't know what's going to happen here. The Guardians are at home, and they have the better offense, but – I'm not sure their offense is quite as good as it's shown so far. I'm not sure this A's offense is as bad as it's shown so far. The bullpen for the A's might not be as good, but hey, first five, we don't have to worry about that, right? And so two pitchers that the model still likes McKenzie more, but I mean, when you look under the hood, like Boyle hasn't been terrible. So I'm going to take a chance with the A's here. First five, only C grade value, a couple cents away from a B grade, close enough that I think it's worth the investment. Rangers and the Braves, boy, oh boy. Hold on to your hats, folks. This is going to be a doozy if you're following me on this play. First five, under 5.5 A grade value. Model projects five runs for the first five. Anytime you play an under with the Braves, you hold your breath. Anytime you play an under with the Rangers, you hold your breath. I'm a little concerned about the Rangers bullpen at this point based off of all the guys that they were using in the Tiger series, and then yesterday against Detroit to hold on to the win, they burned out a bunch of guys. Like, there's a bunch of guys that won't be available today. That are two or three of their better pitchers won't be available. So runs could definitely happen late in this game for the Braves. The Braves are favored. They should be favored. there might be a little bit more value in the Braves than the model realizes. For those of you who have all the model projections with us over on Dub Club and you're looking through all that, maybe a Braves minus one might make a lot of sense, just because I just think the last half of this game, the Braves are going to have a huge edge, because I just don't know what's going to happen with the Rangers relievers. They could be in for a lot of trouble. I think the Braves are going to start off strong with Chris Sale. I like what I've seen from him. His underlying metrics are pretty good. The Rangers are a little bit left-handed heavy, so lefty-lefty, that makes a lot of sense. I think Sale's going to have a good start. I think he can kind of hold this Rangers offense down. Andrew Heaney, not good. Not a guy I've liked, not a guy I've talked, enjoyed, but 5.5 is a pretty high total for the first five. And so we're basically just going to hold our breath for those 15 outs that the Rangers need to get for the Braves here. I expect Sale to have a lot of success. You maybe hear what I'm saying. You're like, why aren't you just backing the Braves? The problem is the price. The price is just way too high. And some of you are going to say, I don't care about the price. You don't have to. But if you take that mindset, you're probably not going to win money in the long run. And if you do some real soul searching, I think you can figure out that that's the case. And the reason why is because there is some randomness. Now, the randomness, again, we talked about this last week, but just to make sure that all these key ideas are sinking in, because I want everyone to be a smarter, better, and better, betters, that the randomness isn't so much that, like, we don't know, like, who's going to be good or whatever. It's that the difference between a home run and an out when you hit a ball is a centimeter. It's the difference between a fly ball and a home run, right? That's not really controllable. And so we know that good hitters are going to hit the ball hard, and that in the long run, they're going to succeed. But like on any one individual at bat, like anything could happen, right? Anybody can just kind of get a hold of one. Anyone can just get a little bit under it. It took Acuña until yesterday to hit his first home run. Does that mean Acuña can't hit home runs now? Because no, he had a 40 last year, right? It just means that when he's hit the ball hard, he's been just a little bit under it. In the long run, that's going to come around. In the short run, we just don't really know what's going to happen. And so the Braves should absolutely win this game. The Braves should absolutely win the first five. But the current prices on this right now are just a little bit too steep, and ignoring the fact that weird things sometimes happen in baseball. And the prices you would need, the thing you would need the Braves to win at a rate that seems a little bit tough against a good team like the Rangers. I'm not saying they don't. I mean, I would expect the Braves to win this game. I would expect them to start off good because I like the pitching matchup. I would expect them to finish even stronger. So like I said, I think Braves minus one might make a lot of sense. The issue is, the price you're paying on that, I'm not sure you have enough innings to balance out the randomness of what if Sale just doesn't have it, or what if Heaney just has the game of his life, right? Like we just don't, what if defensive errors, right? We've seen a lot. I've seen worse defense this year than ever before. Questionable plays. And maybe it's because April, I don't know. Maybe the defense bites the Braves. It bit them a couple times here recently that I've seen, right? There's just enough variance there that I don't know if the Braves make a lot of sense. I sure it's Braves or pass, but this first five under, I think makes a lot of sense. The model's telling us it's a strong pick. These A grades have gone pretty well for us for the most part because of the fact that with the matchup that Sale is probably better than people realize, that the underlying metrics are strong, the Rangers are gonna have a hard time scoring, and it's just hard for there to be that many runs early on. Weather-wise, it's pretty run-of-the-mill, so it's not like we're going to be helped out. Mid-70s, we're going to be blowing across. It'll be pretty average run-of-the-mill night in Atlanta. But 5.5 is a lot, so we're going to go under 5.5. It's a hold-your-breath play. Some of the plays are uncomfortable. Oftentimes, those are the best value plays, right? Because nobody wants to make them. And so if nobody wants to make them, there's typically a little bit of value in them, and so that's how we're approaching this. So first five under 5.5, A grade in Atlanta. Orioles and the Royals, the other game that we have no pick on right now. Quick rundown, upper 50s to start, low 50s to close. No real win to speak of. Fairly hitter-friendly park in Kansas City will be completely offset by the slightly chillier weather, so it'll play average overall. Dean Kremer and Alec Marsh, two guys with ERAs in the fours. Underlying metrics for Marsh, a little bit better, but based off previous season's data, we have Kremer as the slightly better pitcher. Obviously, the Orioles have an edge at the bullpen. The Orioles are a really good team. They have an edge on offense. No pick on this one because I don't think there's any value anywhere. The A grade thresholds are nowhere near where the current prices are. I'm not really dying to fade either one of these teams. I've talked a lot about the Royals recently. Like, I'm not dying to fade them unless there's good value. Fade them twice against the Mets because there was great value and that worked out. But I'm not just running to fade them because they're playing really well. They might be a little bit better than the model realized. If the Royals are a team we've talked about a lot, like, they've been so good to us. I'm not sure anybody's caught up to how good this team is. For whatever reason, we're all struggling and have been for years. And so I'm looking to back the Royals every which way possible. I just don't know if there's value on it here tonight against a Royals team that's gotten kind of frisky as well. So I just don't think there's any value. And with no value, no like great number that's jumping out that's a bargain discount price, like I said, I think it's really hard to fade either one of these teams right now. Maybe the Royals struggle and they start losing again, and then we can go back to doing whatever we do with the Royals. But right now, I'm not happy fading them, and I'm don't ever really want to fade this Orioles team as good as they've looked. So no real value there, no real value on the total market that I can tell either. If I had to, I would go under because you're looking at 9.5, but I'm not that confident in it because a lot's going to really matter about hitter-friendly ballpark versus cold night. The reason that Kauffman is hitter-friendly is very different from how the cold's going to affect it. And what I mean by that is sometimes, like let's take like Coors, and Coors is a little bit of an extreme example because it's a big park as well, but cold day wind blowing in at Coors kind of literally exactly counteracts the ball flying. So it literally offsets exactly what it is. In Kansas City, it's actually two different things. The ball's not going to fly very well, which means we're going to have a harder time having home runs. But the reason Kauffman is a hitter's park, partially in the summer, it gets hot and the wind blows out, but there's just not a lot of foul ground at Kauffman. And so the reason it's a hitter's park is a pop fly foul that would be an out in Oakland is a foul ball and you get to try again. How is that going to play? It's not exactly a direct opposite effect of why have hitter park versus cold weather. So I don't really know which one's going to come out on top. And in any one game, anything can happen. Like, you could have a game where this is a hitter-friendly ballpark because guys get extra lives, and that allows more hits to happen because you're not going to see a lot of home runs. I mean, you're going to have to really crush a ball. It's possible. You're going to have to really crush one. Data home run here. So I'd expect, you know, like one home run maybe. But those extra lives might lead to more base hits, might lead to more walks because at that point you're able to foul off, boom, ball four, right? It may be that the cold weather, you know, just makes what would be home runs on normal days outs, and we see more outs than we see the benefit of the extra foul ball. So it just, it's not the same on the same axis really. So if I had to, I'd go under, but I don't really know. I think it's a high variance total type game. Like, if this game's 2-1, it's going to be like, oh, well, it's, you know, a cold night in Kansas City. Like, Kansas City's not going to play hitter friendly on a cold night. If this game's 9-7, it's like, yeah, it's Kauffman. Like, guys just keep fouling off and they're a bunch of crooked numbers because it's hard to get out of the inning because you don't get quite the same outs you get other parks. So I think anything can happen there. I think 9.5 is a little bit too high, but I'm not ready to play that total. Tigers and Twins on the Twins here at -143 for a B grade pick. Joe Ryan against Jack Flaherty. I love Joe Ryan in a cold weather game. Fly ball pitcher, and the ball's just not going to fly. The wind will be blowing out, but around 40 degrees is going to matter more than the wind blowing out. And so that should help him keep the ball in the yard. Cold weather starts, he's fantastic. Has been fantastic this season so far. A guy we backed a couple years ago before some injury problems. Mid-2 ERA, mid-2 FIP, mid-2 XFIP. Love everything about him. The Twins relievers are good. The Twins offense is the big concern, but they're going up against a Tigers offense that's just as concerning. A Tigers bullpen that's fairly worn out, considering the fact that they played yesterday. Not the worst shape. One of the few bullpens that really matters to talk about. I'm not sure if Chafin will be available after throwing 21 pitches yesterday, after throwing 19 on Tuesday. Like, he could be in a pinch, but I'd prefer not to use him if I'm AJ Hinch, because he won't be quite as effective pitching the third time in 4 days and having pitched so many pitches on those days. And as we all know now, there's really very almost not a lot. There's no almost no such thing as low stress pitches these days, especially for relievers. Like everybody's out there throwing every pitch as hard as they can, right? Shelby Miller, I assume, is unavailable after back-to-back pitching back-to-back days. Two guys threw mid-20s in pitches yesterday. So they'll have their closer, Foley. They'll have Lange. It's just a little bit of a weaker bullpen situation. I think it's kind of the cherry on top for me here that the Tigers bullpen, which is kind of a strength of theirs, might not be in great shape for this game. And I'm just not a huge fan of Jack Flaherty. His underlying metrics are better than his ERA, but I think the Twins have an edge. Starting pitcher can have an edge at bullpen. Offensively, they struggle, but I don't really think it's a big deal there. So also, the Twins win this one. 61% of the time makes minus 143 B-grade. Minus 139 is your A-grade threshold on this one, on what sets up to be a very cold night in Minnesota. Brewers and the Cardinals. Around 60 degrees to start, mid-50s to close. We're going to be blowing in, so we will have a pitcher-friendly atmosphere and a park that's become more hitter-friendly over the years than it used to be. So assuming there's no real park benefit, the weather benefit will help us out and this one keep the runs. And the other thing that'll help us keep the runs down, Freddie Peralta, who is fantastic. Mid-2 ERA, below that for FIP and XFIP. Brewers offense, better than it's been in the past, still not a large enough sample size to say is phenomenal. Cardinals offense, above average, but facing Freddie Peralta is going to balance that out. I'm going to go first 5 under, not full game under, because the bullpen for the Brewers is a concern. That concern for the Brewers, because that's when the Cardinals should be able to take advantage of it, is whenever Peralta comes out, makes that real variable. If Peralta goes 6 innings, we've seen him a lot of times get his pitch count high and he can only go 6. If he only goes 5 innings, that's happened before too. If he only goes 5 innings, you get 4 innings of the Brewers bullpen with this Cardinals offense, like that's when the Cardinals got a chance to come back and score some runs, get some runs for the total, get some runs to help them win or at least cover the +1.5. If Peralta goes 7, that sets up a lot better for him. And I don't know which one's going to happen. And so I think the first 5 market makes a lot of sense because I have a pretty good feeling that Peralta will go 5. Whereas the bullpen, I don't know. I don't know how deep Peralta's going to go, but that matters here. So 5 innings of Peralta versus 5 innings of Kyle Gibson, I mean, massive edge Brewers. Now it's priced that way too. So that's where I think the under 4 for the first 5 makes a lot of sense. It's plus odds. If you go under 4.5, you have to like minus odds. Either one is C grade value, not the biggest value, but I think the smartest play on this game, the Brewers are priced a little heavy, but I'm not running to fade Freddie Peralta. And again, without knowing how many innings he's going to go matters. If he only goes 5, the Cardinals are going to make a lot of sense. If he goes 7, the price isn't good enough on the Cardinals. So there's just a couple of different question marks I have for that. So avoiding that in the first 5, I'd love to go Brewers first 5. I think it's just priced too steep. So instead, we're going to go under 4. Assume that the Cardinals don't score off Peralta because Peralta is so dang good, and assume that while Kyle Gibson isn't good, the Brewers offense doesn't do too much, and we end up with a 2-1 type first 5 innings in St. Louis. Mariners and the Rockies, another fun hold your breath play, but folks, the weather in Denver, I'm not even sure this game would happen. There's some chance of rain, and this is miserable weather. 38 degrees for first pitch, nearing freezing by the end of this game, and a 10-mile-an-hour wind blowing in from center field. At least it's not 20 or 30 miles an hour, because that would be really miserable, right? A 30-mile-an-hour wind and 30-degree temperatures. But like, even that breeze, this is gonna be miserable. Nobody's gonna be out there. Like, you got a Friday night game, and you don't want to postpone Friday night games. But like, man, if I'm living in Denver, I'm like, it's April, it's cold, I'm not going to a game tonight. Like, I'll go to the game in June when the weather's fantastic. But like, this is terrible weather and the rain. So this game may not even happen. But if it does, this total is set way too high. And we've had a couple of these unders at Coors. They've either won for us, or when they haven't, it's been just like we end up with one that lost because of extra innings or something like that. This total set way too high. I know that Coors is a very hitter-friendly ballpark, but the ball is not going to fly. Now, there could be runs because it's still a big ballpark. And so that's why we still have a, you know, we still have a total of 9.3 is the projection for this. 9.3 is still a lot of runs, is an insane number of runs to expect with 30-degree weather and wind blowing in. That's because the park's still really big. And so even though the ball won't fly and it's going to be near impossible to hit a home run, unless you just crush one, you can end up with a lot of singles and doubles because there's a lot of green out there. But baseball so reliant on the home run ball, getting to a number like 11 seems really difficult to do. It can happen with extra innings. It can happen with bullpens. This is the third game that I really debated. Should we go first five under or full game under? I like the full game under 11. That push protection, if it's 5-5, you're not dead. I'm a little bit concerned about extra innings. The Mariners played yesterday. The Rockies have the best home field advantage in baseball. So this is a game that should be a little bit closer than it would be in Seattle. In Seattle, I'll be like, just Mariners are almost surely going to win, right? Almost assuredly for baseball standards. In Denver, with that home field advantage, could be extras. Bullpen for the Rockies, terrible. Bullpen for the Mariners, good. Here's the concern, though, and I mentioned this to our people on Dub Club already, and these are sort of notes that I'll make sure to give out whenever we can't do a show. So a lot of benefits being on Dub Club for when we can't do shows and we don't have time to watch it, you kind of get the same boiled down info. The hardest part about pitching in Denver is, as a pitcher, you don't know what your stuff's going to do. You don't know how you're gripping the ball. You don't know how the spin's working. Everything's just a little bit different. And trying to adjust to that and figure that out. Pitchers have success better the second time they pitch there. And I'm not to say that some of these Mariners haven't pitched there before, but like if it was last year, you've kind of forgotten that by now, right? The second time you pitch there in the current season, especially if it's back-to-back days or 2 out of 3 days, right? So like later on in the series, I have a little bit more faith in the Mariners bullpen, but like they played yesterday. This will be the first time they've played here all season, of course. Those relievers could struggle a little bit. One or two of them could, right? And that's the thing with relievers. You need multiple. Emerson Hancock, I don't think he's going to go very deep, right? If he gets five, that's incredible. If he gets five, we're golden, because if he actually gets through five innings, that means he's done really well. Not as bad as ERA, but he's not a guy who's going to go seven, right? So you're talking about the full game. I think the under makes a lot of sense because the weather sets up for an under. And this game very likely could be like 3-2 in this weather. Game could not happen too, right? Keep that in mind. But if Hancock's only going four innings or five innings, we got to get four or five innings out of the Mariners bullpen. Four or five pitchers. Odds are one or two of them just can't find it. Their stuff hangs. They don't know how to adjust. They haven't figured it out yet. They figured out by the 20th pitch. That means the first 19, they were in trouble. And you might get some extra runs. There's some extra walks, some extra hits, some extra, you know, whatever. That's why I think the first five makes more sense. I think both make a lot of sense, but I think the first five is the stronger play here. So we're going first five under 5.5, A-grade pick, almost even money, which is fantastic. The model says 5.2. For the expectation here. Dakota Hudson, one of the stronger pitchers for the Rockies, 4.15 ERA, underlying metrics support that. And that's not terrible. Projects to be a little bit worse, but so far so good this year. Hancock, like I said, you know, 4.25 xFIP, that's not terrible. He's not going to go deep. Don't have to worry about it too much here for the first five. I think we can squeeze out enough from these two starting pitchers to have a 2-2 type. First five innings at most could easily be 1-0 because this weather, the ball's just not going to fly. Guys' bats move slower. I mean, this is just very pitcher-friendly weather. The Mariners' offense is very okay. Rockies' offense isn't good. They score a lot. They'll score a lot of runs in the summer when that park plays better. But I think a great opportunity for runners. Some of these Coors Field owners have gone well for us in April, and or the ones we haven't have been foiled at the end of the game, and thus I think the first five makes a little bit more sense. But I think both full game and first five are strong picks. Blue Jays and the Pirates, the Blue Jays and the Padres, excuse me, about 60 degrees for this one. Wind will be blowing slightly across. Pitcher-friendly atmosphere, of course, in San Diego, nothing new there. Yariel Rodriguez, who looked pretty good in his first outing. XFIP good, FIP not good, but a promising projection from coming into the season based off of previous season's work for him. So a guy we still like against Matt Waldron, who's looked pretty good in his first three starts. And underlying metrics are pretty solid as well. So two solid pitchers here. Play of the day for this one. Join us on Dub Club. Again, that link in the show description. You can join just the Play of the Day package for a little bit cheaper. That's all you get. Or if you've join the full package, you get the 10-day free trial, you get Discord access, you get summary, you get a bunch of information to look at, so you kind of can fill in the gaps. I don't want to say literally everything that's here because the show would double in time. So all the extra things that you're wondering, that you're like, well, what's the A-grade threshold? What's this probability rate? All that's available for bringing on Dub Club. If you take that full package, that link in the show description will get you started there with that 10-day free trial. Mets and the Dodgers. mid-50s in LA, slight breeze blowing out. Should be slightly pitcher-friendly because it's a slightly cool night. Not overly. Sean Manaea and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Manaea looked great for his first two starts. Things kind of fell apart for him in that third start. Here's what I like so far, is that so far the model said to back Manaea the two times he did well and said to fade him the time he didn't. So like what I'm seeing there, some of that's a little bit of luck, because the reason we were fading him wasn't because we thought he would do good or bad. It was because we thought it was mispriced based off of what the value should be. So take that for what it's worth. In this case, though, we think now we're going back the other direction. The Mets are a little bit mispriced, and that Manaea should be given a little bit more benefit of the doubt. He's not as bad as he looked at last start. His underlying metrics are still very promising. Yamamoto's are as well. I think Yamamoto's the better pitcher here. But of note, the Dodgers are very left-handed heavy. So while they have the number one overall offense, according to Sideline today, and again, that's ping pong back and forth, you know, with them and the Astros and the Braves, depending on the day. Against lefties, it drops about a half a standard deviation because they're so left-handed heavy. The Mets are decent, maybe. Having Diaz back helps a lot, for sure. Their offense is very okay. They have less losses than the Dodgers do right now. They've played fewer games, but like 10-8 for the Mets, especially given that start, you know, I'm not buying the Mets yet. So I don't want them full game. Let's go first five, get a Dodge. Run lines plus odds. Here, again, ties or wins, B-grade value. I think Manaea can hold it together. We took the Nats 2 out of 3 times against the Dodgers. 1-2 of the 3. Took them, you know, full game, first five, whatever it was. Like, they kind of, everything was the same. There was not really any weird thing happening there. They played well 2 games. They didn't win the other game. I think the same thing. I think the Dodgers are a little bit overpriced here. We had value on the Nats. I think let's have value on the Mets here. The Mets aren't bad. Manaea is not bad. The Dodgers are good for sure, but there's a real chance this game is tied after five. And we got plus 112 and we went on that. So that makes a lot of sense there. I think the under makes a little bit of sense. Full game first five. I think the Mets make a little bit of sense. Full game first five as well. I think this is the best of all those for a couple reasons. One, remember the total and the run lines are correlated. The total and the money lines are correlated, but not quite as much. Very loosely, in that if you have a an extreme game, you're more likely for the dog to come out on top, right? If it's a Coors game in the summer where like everyone's gonna hit bombs, like that can be a little bit of a weird situation, more likely to be a coin toss game. And if you have a cold game in Seattle where the total's 6, you're right, because then it just takes like one swing of the bat and your team can win. But in the run line, it's even more correlated because the ties winning, or if it's full game, the fact that you can lose by one and win and fewer runs means more likely to be tied. And so I think this makes the most sense because I'm not really dying to take the Mets in the full game. If I was, it would have to be run line, but like +1.5 against the Dodgers, it's done okay this year for sure. But like that Dodgers offense, like if you give them enough time, like they could score. If the Mets are down 1, depending on how they use, like it could easily turn to 2. It's like, I don't know. It's not crazy. It's not the greatest price, though. I think the first five just makes more sense because I have just less to worry about. If we're tied after five, we win, right? And again, because of the fact that I think the total should be a little bit lower than it is, kind of gives us a little bit extra value because the books know that the total being lower, or the total being whatever it is, impacts the probability of a tie, which in this case, we win on the ties, right? I think that the total should be a little bit lower, and so the probability of a tie is a little bit higher than they realize. Not by much, just a little. So again, that's what we're doing here, right? There's 2,000 baseball games in the season, right? 1,000, 2,000, I don't know. There's a bunch. And we're just trying to get a little bit of value here, a little bit of value there, a little bit of value here, and it all adds up to good value. And so I think just a little extra value on the Mets first five. I like the plus odds in the run line here, so B grade value there. And then to wrap us up, Diamondbacks and the Giants. Chilly night in San Francisco, pitcher-friendly ballpark. Wind will be blowing out. Wind doesn't matter in this park because it swirls. So the wind direction blowing out actually means it might be blowing in, might be blowing sideways, depending on where you hit the ball. Who the heck knows? It's the weirdest park in baseball with regards to the winds. 50 degrees in that park, low total. That's what you expect. The pick on this was the first five under because the bullpens are questionable. The Giants bullpen looks better. looking in better form after that kind of like rough, whatever it was, week and a half. Diamondbacks bullpen, a concern. Obviously, they need a guy like Sewell to come back and be healthy. I trust these two starting pitchers to do well in that environment. I do not know why this is 4.5. It makes no sense. -125, A-grade pick. That should be 4. It should be 4, probably like -115, in my opinion. So A-grade value on this one, I think it makes a lot of sense. It's too good to pass up. I think it's a better value than the full game total, because the full game total is 8 and the model is projecting 7.5. If the full game total was 7.5 and the model projected 7, I think it'd be better value. Or if the full game total was 7 and the model projected 6.5, it'd be better value because of the probability of landing on certain numbers for the full game. You don't have that in the first 5. There's no increased probability other than just how things normally follow from a Poisson distribution. But in the full game, you don't have that because you have ties. And so that changes things on that. So the full game, I think, under makes sense. I just don't think it's nearly as good as value. And the model is kind of telling us that because I've kind of coded that into the model to help figure stuff like that out. But the offenses are decent enough to have some runs. I just think the starting pitchers can keep us to like 2-2. I like Montgomery. I like Snell. Montgomery's first show of the season. Again, don't know what we're going to expect from him. But he was one of the stronger pitchers in baseball last year. And a guy who I've constantly said is underrated. I've been saying that for years now. Snell, 1286 ERA, but a reminder, ERA is not necessarily the best predictor of how a pitcher is going to perform. His FIP is 6, which is not good, but it's not 13. His XFIP is 3.35. What does that mean? The biggest difference between FIP and XFIP is FIP uses actual home run rate. XFIP uses expected home run rate. When you have that big of a difference, what that means is that Snell is giving up a lot of home runs on fly balls, and we know that trends back towards a pretty standard number that major league pitchers. Now, for me, it wouldn't. For me, my home run to fly ball ratio would be pretty high because guys would crush me, right? My, 78 mile an hour fastball. That I can still throw, by the way. So, we'll pray there. Yeah. But for major league pitchers, we know that trends back to an average number conditioned on the park you're playing in, right? You would expect more home runs per fly ball at Coors than you would, or at Fenway than you would at, San Francisco, for instance. That's been Snell's problem, has been the home run ball. His problem always is too many walks and too many runners on, but that didn't bother him last year, right? And that's going to happen here. We're going to hold our breath for 5 innings because Snell's going to have too many dang runners on. But what's cost him so far this season is getting runners on at home runs at a rate that is not necessarily sustainable. I think that'll come back down to earth. That's what the excerpt is telling us. And so don't be alarmed at Snell starting off like this. Like, I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. The warts with Blake Snell are the same warts we talked about last year, which was he can be in trouble because he can't go deep. He walks too many guys. He nibbles too much, that sort of thing. But his stuff is good enough to mostly get him out of it, except for that one random start where he's going to give up the home runs. You don't expect that in San Francisco, right? Not to say it can happen, but I think his big, like, what's been the problem? Like, we're in pretty good shape for that to not necessarily bite him tonight in a chilly night at a pitcher-friendly ballpark. Again, one game, anything can happen. But I think you've seen him struggle so far in his 2 games has been the idea of 2 games, anything can happen. In the long run, he'll be better than that. Even if he's not as good as his output was last year, in that we would have expected him to give up more runs than he did because he kind of pulled a rabbit out of his hat a few times. But he's still a very good pitcher, right? And same goes for Montgomery, a very good pitcher. And you put 2 good pitchers and a pitcher-friendly ballpark on a cool night, these offenses aren't great. There might be some runs somewhere, but this should be a fairly low-scoring game. This total, like I said, should be 4, under 4.5. The fact that we get the win on 4 and we're only going to pay -125 is insanely good value. A great pick to wrap us up in the late night. And that is our show. A lot of first 5 picks. People are commenting on Dub Club, hey, more first 5 picks than usual because now we're not locking in night before full games and I get to wait and see. And some of these first 5s are like more than the full game. So hopefully that turns us around on the free show picks. Our overall picks, fairly okay, learning, figuring out, making what to do, but the first 5's in a well, so integrating more of those hopefully leads to success. Always bet within reason, because anything can happen in one game. We're still going to have bad days, but as of late, we've had a lot more good days than bad games. So hopefully we can continue in that trajectory. If you're not with us on WCW yet, a lot of reasons to be over there. Link in the show description. We'll get you started. Otherwise, though, as always, best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your any money